News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 and WGCLRadio.com. The In the Zone radio program. Monday. No, it's Wednesday. We had Monday Night Football to talk about on Monday and plenty of other things. But it is Wednesday night, our final time with you this week as we get you for a super busy weekend. We've got Colts in Jacksonville, obviously our NFL game on Sunday. Hoosier Hysteria on Saturday night. IU football Saturday afternoon, and before that even starts, high school football sectional play in the NFL tomorrow night. So we've got plenty of stuff to touch on for you alongside Dave Novak. I'm Mike Glasscott. Dave, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good.
And a little late tonight.
That's all right.
Getting started as normal, but as you said, lots to do tonight.
And a very small window to fit it all in. Yankees leading Houston 1-0 in the bottom of the third. If you are watching the baseball, Cubs on the brink of extinction. They will go at 9 o'clock tonight, game 4 in Wrigley. So there is all kinds. When October hits and fall and winter starts to merge and meld, it's an awesome time of year.
We need more hours.
Well, that's why you blink, you wake up, and it's Thanksgiving because of all this stuff going on. But we're happy to tell you all about it tonight.
Yep, lots going on, as you mentioned tonight. We got the Hoosiers, we got the Colts, we've got NBA starting off. And the first news, unfortunately, out of the NBA is very bad news, and it hits a little bit home here in Indianapolis.
Oh, left out the Pacers, right.
Indiana. The Pacers start tonight, but Gordon Hayward last night went down with a gruesome injury to his leg. I don't see any reason, you know, any way you avoid that kind of thing, unfortunately.
Nope.
But a horrible way for the NBA to start. One of their
6 minutes into the league's first game, and a dislocated ankle, broken tibia, so Gordon Hayward is out indefinitely, and again, you're right, Dave. That's just
it's like
the Paul George injury. It's just a freak injury, and
you're trying hard. I mean, you're busting your butt, and all of a sudden you come down.
He didn't step on a cheerleader. He didn't fall into the stands. The basket didn't collapse.
Nobody pushed him into something.
No, you're right. It's a tough way to start the NBA season. The Pacers will get it going tonight at Bankers Life Fieldhouse as they will take on the Brooklyn Nets. So an interesting start for the Pacers. I bet if you asked them, they would have said that's probably who we wouldn't mind getting started.
Sure, who wouldn't?
With because Brooklyn has been rebuilding, it seems like, for years since they traded everybody. But we'll see. We'll do more. We have plenty of time to get to the Pacers here in the next couple of weeks, months, and whatever else. Aaron Judge, RBI double. Yankees lead 2-0 in Yankee Stadium, bottom of three against Dallas Keuchel and the Astros.
So we'll get off of NBA for a while. Again, a lot of time, as you said, to talk about that. Go right to the NFL, though, because the Colts played the other night. They're going to play this weekend here on WGCL starting noon on Sunday as they host Jacksonville. News out of Colts land is that Andrew Luck is suddenly not practicing again because he needs some help with his shoulder. He's got a sore shoulder all of a sudden. So, again, if you thought you're going to see Andrew Luck this season, it's slowly being pushed further and further and further into 2018.
The good news, it's just soreness. It's a cortisone shot to relieve some pain.
It's not great news, though.
No, it's not.
I mean, when you've been throwing for a week and a half, and you got to go out with a cortisone shot. Anyways, that doesn't translate to the field at this point in time right now. Anyways, the Colts went down to Tennessee the other night, and, you know, ups, downs, all over the places. You played a mostly stationary Marcus Mariota. You thought that would work out in your favor, and it did for a little while. Unfortunately, they turned up the pressure on Jacoby Brissett a bit in the second half, and Jacoby Brissett and the offense really didn't quite respond to that, and the defense definitely didn't respond down the stretch as a couple, one drive and one long play basically put them away. But Glass, we're talking, I mean, can you get into first place at least, win a game on the road that they don't expect? And the answer is no. You know, right now this team, you know, it just can't make the right play at the right time most of the time. And it's won two games against 0-6 teams, and it shows because when they play a team that's got a semblance of a clue on how to play football, they're struggling right now.
The most disappointing thing about this Colts team is they don't play 60 minutes, and that's a fact. And I beat that into the ground on Monday. I beat it into the ground last Monday. I beat it into the ground the Monday before that. And the numbers kill them. They got outscored in Seattle 36-6. They were outscored last night 27-3. And, yes, I'm not crediting the John Simon unbelievable interception return for touchdown. That had nothing to do with the offense.
Let's not do that.
The offense accounted for how many points? 16. One touchdown and three field goals. That's what you got from the Colts last night. I think that math's correct. I gave up. It's 19-9 with, 10, 12, 11, 9, 8, 7 minutes to go in the third quarter, a 10-point lead. How many double-digit halftime leads have they – or third-quarter, second-half leads have they blown? Well, another one. I'm done counting them.
Yeah, it was 22 all in the middle of the fourth quarter.
It was, but it was 19-9 in the third quarter. So there was a lead.
After the interception, that's correct.
they had the chance to knock Tennessee out or make it increasingly difficult for them. And again, the offense, the numbers, I think somebody tweeted from the Star or the Colts or somebody tweeted, don't look at Jacoby Brissett's second half numbers.
No.
Whatever he is doing in the first half is fine, but whatever the adjustments that are being made on him, it's completely halted what the Colts have been trying to do. Remember, against Cleveland, they had 28 at halftime, finished the game with 31.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go through all these games and show the second half where the Colts just stopped doing what they need to do.
Yeah.
And the defense makes a big play for him, gets him 6 points. Not seven. Yeah, that didn't have anything to do with the end of the game, by the way. They made a play, and you've asked the Colts defense to make plays. And with Marcus Mariota being Cecil in the pocket, you're right. Guess what happens at the end of the day? He throws for 303 yards. Guess what the Colts defense gives up passing a game? About 304 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So they had an average night besides the big play. They gave up another big play at the end of the game. He stepped out of bounds. All that did was hurt everybody that bet the Colts plus 7.5. I don't know why that wasn't reviewed, but you can take 72 yards off that final rushing total. That was decent. They held him 80, 85, 90. Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But again, you find ways to lose football games. You have no offensive rebuttal. You have the play calling, we'll get to that in a minute, on the decision-making of it all. Malik Hooker is a freshman safety, or rookie safety, played like a freshman, gets completely torched on that play.
Yeah.
And that's what you're dealing with right now. And there's not a whole lot of positive to push on, because when you score 13 points and lead 13-9.5, that's fine. But they don't hand out halftime trophies. They don't hand out third quarter trophies. They don't hand out leading the fourth quarter trophies. Those don't happen. You have to win football games. Tennessee wasn't very good, and the Colts could not take advantage of it. I told you why Mariota played on Monday, because it was the Colts defense. He's 70%, 60%. He would not have played because they know they're not going to sack him, and he knows he's going to have a clean pocket all day long, so he can just sit back there and pick apart a secondary, a defense that gives up 300 yards on average passing through five games. And there it is. Are you surprised they got beat?
No.
Are you surprised in the way they got beat? No. Are you surprised that they finished the final drive the way they did? I'm completely surprised. That made absolutely no sense to me, and we'll get into that when we get into that.
Yeah, well, we might as well get into that because, as you mentioned, in the second halves of games, look, when you've got a quarterback who doesn't have a lot of experience in general at this level, you try to make something work for your game plan. The problem is you're going up against some pretty darn good defensive coordinators in this league, and they're going to figure you out eventually.
Dom Capers has been around for 420 years.
They're going to figure you out eventually. They are, and that's going to happen on both sides. The problem is, with Jacoby Brissett, you are limited, so you better get off to a big lead. They come up with some stuff for Jacoby Brissett every week, and he looks all right in these first halves. But again, he's not supposed to be the starting quarterback right now. He's not. Scott Tolzien isn't supposed to be the starting quarterback right now. And again, if we knew Andrew Luck was going to be out for the entire year, which it's starting to get to look like every single week, more and more like that, then a different decision should have been made. Now, you want to bring Jacoby Brissett in anyways and make that trade for Philip Dorsett? Great. I'm fine with that. I mean, give the guy a couple years as a backup, and you probably got a pretty good backup. But you see week after week that defensive coordinators, when they go into the defensive the huddles in halftime, they're able to come up with a plan to shut him down, confuse him, take him out of what they're trying to get away with. It's hard in any football game, NFL or college, to come up with 60 minutes worth of looks nobody's seen before. It just is.
And you're not going to spend your whole week practicing those.
So that's what's happening, is they're coming up with some things that Jacoby Brissett can do well in the first half, and then the defensive coordinators get some looks at it, go in and talk about it a little bit, and come up with a little bit of tweak, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's the other direction. I mean, you could say a little bit about the Colts also, because the Colts have had a little bit of success in those third quarters on the defense. John Simon with an interception here too. The problem is that doesn't last. That doesn't last because, as you said, you don't get any pressure on the quarterback. You have spotty rush defense. You have some, but you don't have a great deal. And you've got young defensive backs, and they are going to get beat at some point in time. And unfortunately, sometimes all you got to do is a little bit of play action, and both the linebackers and the defensive backs go flying out of position, and somebody's behind them.
And the Colts have other problems. Jack Doyle, for 3 weeks in a row now, or the week he didn't play.
What's going on with Jack
Doyle?
Well,
I think he got his bell wrong. Wow. That's why he missed a game, and he doesn't look right. So I don't know if he has lingering effects from something that's caused him to miss action, but he's dropping every other pass, and the other ones he's catching, he's fumbling after he brings them in. So that's who's the quarterback's best friend when you can't throw the ball down the field? The tight end 5 yards out of the backfield.
Yeah.
And when he's not making plays, that's tough to do. T.Y. Hilton had one catch for 15 yards. I think he was targeted three times or four times.
Yeah.
If If on the road, Brissett doesn't have the confidence to make throws into traffic where Hilton is, there's no Hilton, and there's no scare from the Colts offense.
Decent defensive coordinators can take away T.Y. Hilton.
They can.
Let's be fair
bracket
about
him
that.
Up,
he's not a big physical guy who can work his way back in if he's going to be out physical.
And the other part of that is defensive coordinators also put heat on the Colts line and know those deep routes can't get anywhere. So you had multiple issues. You had multiple problems with it. Jack Muhart was gone for the year. We knew that before the game started.
The offensive line, they said during the game, has had the most combinations since 2012 of anybody in the NFL by like eight.
Two general
40
managers
of them.
Can't fix that. That's fine.
Well, that's your biggest problem. I want to point on that because all of these issues we've talked about, we've been talking about for a couple of years, and they're not solved.
And the sad part about Monday night's game on the solved issue is left tackle, first-round draft pick, right guard, third-round draft pick, center, first-round draft pick, right tackle, fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
So you have two first-round picks on that line playing.
That's right.
And they can't move the football.
Yeah.
Here's my deal with everything. When you get to 29-22 and it's fourth and one, and you tell me Frank Gore's a Hall of Fame back, it gets tough yards and he grinds it out. You have a 6'5", 235-pound quarterback.
Yeah.
And you run away from.
You run a bootleg.
You run away from, not behind the left tackle, first-round pick, and the
you
center.
You run a naked bootleg.
What is New England's play on fourth and one?
New England's play?
Tom Brady, quarterback sneak, and he gets it almost 95% of the time.
Sure.
So you have a 6'5", 235-pound guy who is bigger than Frank Gore.
Yeah.
So Frank Gore has to be in the game there because on third and 13, Turbin's in the game because he's your short yardage back, makes a catch, breaks his arm in 100 places.
Yeah.
So you get that kind of – I mean, the play – that's unlucky that Turbin gets hurt.
Yeah, gained 12 yards. He needed 13.
Well, that's the point. But he's hurt, and he can't come in that situation.
Right.
So the Colts, because of their deficiencies, can't line up against a Tennessee defense who gave up 150 yards rushing to Miami last week and get a yard at 29-22 when the game's on the line with 2 minutes and 10 seconds. They take a quarterback who's limited and run him on a bootleg to the wide side of the field.
Yeah. I have less of a problem than the bootleg than I do the fact that everything else you've mentioned, which is they're unable to run the ball consistently.
If Frank Gore is your running back and you've done nothing to alleviate that the last couple of years, and your back that you pay the most money can't get you fourth and one, and your line can't block for him, or you can't just run a normal play to get something, you have to use chicanery, tomfoolery, and the rest of it, that just tells me you're not going anywhere. That tells me your offense is limited.
Well,
and again,
look,
didn't work.
When you're struggling, you have to come up with something. And the Jack Doyle play that scored the touchdown was a little bit of chicanery at the very least. I mean, and Mike Mularkey pulls this stuff out all over the place himself too. I mean, that's part of what he does on offense for the Titans and has for years. But you're right. The fact that you cannot rely on your offensive line in a big moment to get your big yard
or a Hall of Fame back
is still a huge problem. And you have spent draft picks. Now, again, it's been a couple different general managers as we mentioned that have done this, but it's not just that spot. I mean, Dante Moncrief had a nice night on the evening, but he also
dropped a touchdown pass. Minus four,
Four. That's a play that he has to make. It was a play that Jacoby Brissett put right on the money.
Yep.
It was early. It was good protection, and it was a quick throw. So it was everything you want to have happen
except the catch.
On offense, except for the catch for the guy who's going to be looking for a contract in the offseason.
Right.
As you mentioned, T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton does not seem to have the capabilities at his size to be able to physically impose himself on the game. He has to kind of be worked into the game. He has to beat people deep in order to really that's kind of the only move he's got where he can come up with something. It could be route running, but frankly, when you watch the routes in isolation, the routes he's running aren't all that good. Sure, he might be getting open from time to time, but these aren't, he's not some amazing route runner in his precision and these sorts of things. So there's all kinds of disappointments all over this. And even as you said, Jack Doyle, who should and does generally has been as sure-handed as possible.
Absolutely.
He's why you got rid of Dwayne Allen. He's why you paid him a bunch of money. I mean, all these things. He's why you let Kobe Fleener go a couple of years ago, and now he's dropping everything under the sun. So it is literally hanging by a thread here for the Colts. And Jacksonville comes to town on the weekend. Jacksonville isn't going to knock anybody's socks off, but they might knock the Colts' socks off.
No, and then you look at Marlon Mack. First carry, 22 yards. Second carry, minus four. Never touches the ball again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's only 75 other plays running that game. So I don't know what the I don't know what the plan the Colts look like they're surviving or trying to survive series to series. They don't look like they – every time you watch them, you just – you feel like, what are you going to do? What are you going to try to do? And the inconsistency, Gore goes for 10, Gore goes for minus 1. Gore goes for 9, Gore goes for 1.
Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason to it. Jacoby Brissett struggles to get the ball down the field because people are on his case all day long. I get it. The Colts just right now aren't a very good football team. But the sad part is they lead 19-9 in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. They scored 3 points. That's it. They scored 3 points. So you want to blame the defense for allowing? Sure, no problem. How many times Derrick Henry falls down there, goes out of bounds, the clock runs out. They're still losing.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to fix the game.
No.
But the problem is there are too many problems. And you can point them out and go through it and pick on guys and do whatever else. But the Colts have shown you something where they have at least been able to take leads perhaps into the fourth quarter, tie games in the third, whatever it is. They don't finish. And they don't finish on offense. They don't finish on defense. They haven't been able to pin their ears back, even though they've had big leads in the fourth quarter. It hasn't happened. And when nothing happens, you know, that's the bad news about it, because there's really nothing to point to that says, hey, once this gets turned around, well the point was Andrew Luck, and now we're pointing to the sky and wondering just if, when, or if at all on any of that.
And again, he is not able to throw this week with a sore shoulder.
Shut down.
He hasn't been throwing all that off or all that much anyways. So that's a little different. Not very good, in fact. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone of Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. We'll give you the one programming note, and that is that we have Indianapolis Colts this Sunday at noon, pregame with Bob Lamy, and Jacksonville coming to town, and the Colts desperately in need of a win. The whole rest of the South is 3-3. Colts are 2-4. It's hard to call them reeling. They're just kind of floating in this spot right here where they hope more 0-6 teams show up on their schedule, and I'm not sure they've got any more coming up anytime soon. But Jacksonville comes to town. In the past, we've been able to count on the AFC South at a lot of times. And it's, craptitude to win some games.
You've beaten Tennessee 11 straight. You've beaten them 16 out of 17. So they were more than aware of that, and you had a 19-9 lead. So it's not like the Colts fall into that 0-6 type category. It's just they're not close. The only games they have finished out were Cleveland and San Francisco, and they didn't finish out those games. Remember, San Francisco was down 23-9, scored 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and forced the game to overtime. Mm-hmm. Cleveland was down 31-14 at one point.
It was worse than that too, wasn't it?
Not
28-7?
Yeah, there you go. And the Colts scored 3 second-half points and hung on for dear life to win 31-28. So there isn't a lot of margin for error. There's plenty of room for improvement. But I don't see how this group of players is going to make a dramatic switch in the sense that they are going to play better. As we talked about on Monday, and it was reinforced on Monday night, Quincy Wilson can't get on the field because he can do is play one position.
Yeah.
Well, you drafted him. Quincy Wilson wasn't allocated to you for money or anything else. You went out and physically chose him.
Yep.
The sixth-round pick, Hairston from Temple, is playing because he can play on special teams.
And in the slot.
Keep going. He can do other things. That's the point.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
He's first team in something.
Yeah.
In the slot, at the very least.
And Terrell Basham, we heard this week,
can't
play. He's not good enough right now. He doesn't understand how football works. Well, that's not good for a third-round pick. That's not what you'd like to hear from that, especially when your defense is struggling the way it does.
Especially when you just brought in a new general manager to fix the problems of the previous general manager.
And Vontae Davis not getting beat, John Simon's playing hard, and the rest of the defense is that's about it. And you can't win in this league with just a couple pieces here and there. So how does that shift and turn around? You have to create more turnovers. The Colts offense has to score touchdowns. all that has to happen, and we just talked about all those issues facing the Colts, how does it turn around? Thankfully, in the NFL, everything is week to week. Just because the Colts lost on Monday night does not mean they're going to lose every game the rest of the year. It's just not how this league works. Look
feels
around.
Like, feels like it.
It feels like it after watching it.
It feels like it right
but
now.
But when you look around and you see all the adjustments that are made, this is where coaches make their money. This is where coordinators make their money. Like you mentioned, LeBeau in the game. Well, LeBeau also he's not their offensive coordinator, but the offensive coordinator at Tennessee scored 10 points on the road at Miami last week. Somehow they get 30-something this week. They all adjust. They all make adjustments. Played Marcus Mariota on one leg. Still found a way to win. That's what's got to drive you a little crazy if you're a Colts fan.
Yeah, because like you said earlier, they didn't mind him sitting in the pocket and not running and not moving. And
why don't you blitz his face off? Blitz do something different. I mean, don't know.
You don't have to take it easy on him just because he's got a leg situation.
Doesn't have a red jersey on.
No.
You can go ahead. You can go attack him. But the Colts didn't take advantage of that situation. They didn't take advantage of a halftime lead. They didn't build on their second half lead. Now the Jacksonville Jaguars come to town. I guess the only good news is Leonard Fournette's got a bad ankle because he's been running over everybody.
Yeah.
The Colts have actually been decent against the rush.
Hurt his ankle stepping on another defender.
Yeah. Well, he was trucking.
On his way to the end zone.
Exactly.
Not being a Colt.
But that the Colts, if anything's good about that, is Jacksonville is not going to hopefully light their secondary up because that's been the issue. 300 yards each night on any of that. So
here's still Blake Bortles and whoever else they've got down there.
The Jacksonville secondary is pretty good. Ask Ben Roethlisberger. Five picks, two of them went to the house. So, again, that doesn't make me comfortable and confident that Brissett's back there picking and choosing from his three or four routes he's running. The Colts will definitely have to figure something out, and I'm excited to see what it's going to be because I have no clue. I can't sit here and tell you, hey, on Sunday, here's how you
Let's
beat the
this.
Jaguars.
Yeah.
Well, you get a lot of turnovers, which they don't do. You extend a second half lead, which they haven't. And
I mean, it seems to me you've got to commit to the line of scrimmage.
And make Blake Bortles beat you.
I don't know if you just didn't do it or if you weren't successful with it with Tennessee and a hobbled quarterback.
85, not, yeah.
But you know what? Leonard Fournette right now is running the ball better than Tennessee is.
At some point, you have to change to the fact that if you continue to do what you're doing, these things continue to happen.
Yeah.
So they need to find a way to create momentum, shift momentum, put momentum in their direction. And right now, they've had momentum on the scoreboard, and they haven't been good front runners.
No, and Jacksonville's even weirder right now because they've beaten the Texans.
Killed Baltimore in London.
They've destroyed Baltimore, and they destroyed the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
Two picks, though.
30-9.
Yeah, 14
then they lost at home to the Rams. They lost at the Jets. And
at the Jets is awful.
Badly to the Titans, too, so at home. So.
You call me when you get it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to win this game.
Yep.
Well, it could be a tie, but probably win this game. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Got several programming notes here for you. Tomorrow night we pick the NFL back up. 8 o'clock is pregame for Kansas City at Oakland. Friday night, we're back with high school football. It is officially the postseason, and while 5A and 6A don't all have to play the first weekend, South got drawn into the first weekend, so they are playing Whiteland. They are hosting that game. 7 o'clock is the kickoff, and 6:30 is Chalk Talk Friday night for Whiteland at South. The winner of that game will host North the next week, so we might have another crosstown rivalry, but nobody on the south side better overlook Whiteland just to be safe, and we certainly will not. Again, 7 o'clock kick on Friday. Saturday, college football. Michigan is at Penn State. 7 o'clock is the pregame, 7:30 kickoff for that. And then on Sunday, as we mentioned, Jacksonville is at Indianapolis, so we'll have the Colts Radio Network for that one at noon for pregame.
Better win those home division games.
We will be with you again on Monday night to take you into Monday Night Football next Monday. Washington is at Philadelphia. A couple Hoosier notes. First one, and we'll talk about IU basketball in a little while, but Hoosier Hysteria is this Saturday night. Doors are 5:30 for that. We'll talk more about IU basketball here shortly. But another thing that we've got coming up here soon is we've got a celebration of the 1967 Rose Bowl.
We do. 50-year anniversary. Our friend Mark Deal with Indiana Football, the director of alumni relations, has helped us put this together. We will be at C3 in Renwick coming up on Wednesday, November 8th from 6 to 8 p.m. So we get a big extended program for you. Why? 50 years is a long time and a lot of stories. And we'll have a bunch of players on hand. Eric Stolberg, Jade Butcher, Ken Kaczmarek, Harold Morrow, E.G. White, Bob Monahan. Also, Max Skirvin and Bob Hamill will be there. So the guys who covered it, the guys who played it. And a night of celebration again at C3 in Renwick. Thanks to the IU Credit Union, our presenting sponsor on there. And we'll give you more information as we get closer and closer. It's going to be a really, really informal show in the sense that we're going to sit back and listen to these guys talk about arguably the greatest season in IU football.
Yeah,
you can make that probably that argument. 45 is going to probably poke their head up and talk about
that. They're both pretty damn good.
They were. And we'll hear about the ins and outs, the trials, the tribulations, the stories, and all of it on the 8th of November, Wednesday night, 6 to 8, special two-hour presentation. Thanks to the IU Credit Union for being the lead on that.
And we'll lead that into IU football as they go on the road this weekend up to East Lansing.
Trophy
to face
game.
Michigan State. That's right. The Spittoon was finally back in Bloomington for a little while. And now they got to go on the road. And this is not the same team as Michigan State as last year. Michigan nope. State's team last year was nationally ranked when they came to Bloomington. They led 14-0 at half. And Indiana came through in the second half, had an amazing second half, actually, and knocked them off. And I don't know if that created the spiral for Michigan State, but something did. And Michigan State spiraled to a 3-9 record. And everybody started questioning. And there's off field stuff. And what's going on? And the answer is, well, they're right back at it right now with a new quarterback and a physical team once again, as you would expect from Michigan State. So here's another challenge for the Hoosiers and the quarterback Peyton Ramsey in his second start.
And interestingly enough, that comparison, that was one of the few games that we talked about on Monday where Indiana did come back. Usually it's Indiana maybe letting the lead away, then the game gets tied. This was not the case against Michigan State. The Hoosiers did come back in that game. Griffin Oaks did not have a very good day kicking the ball. Remember, Indiana passed up three or four chances in overtime before finally settling on the field goal because Oaks had a tough day. That's not the case this year. Indiana last week against Michigan, again, trailed a really good defense, came back with a 10-point rally late in the fourth quarter there. So they talk about, we talk about, fans talk about, yeah, it's close, it's no cigar. Well, that game did have a cigar, and you won the brass platoon. So that is something. That got you to a bowl game, because last time I checked, Dave, Indiana finished 6-6 last year.
Yeah.
The Wake Forest game at home when Richard Lego threw five interceptions had to be erased by beating a top 20 opponent, and they did so in dramatic fashion. So it's been done before. They've had that taste in their mouth. Michigan State, you're right, is better this year. I did see a little bit of old Michigan State when they took on Notre Dame and got beat 38-10 at home and got absolutely stuffed like a Thanksgiving Day turkey. But the way they bounced back, I think, is interesting because that could have been the game that sunk this season. They bounced back beating Iowa 17-10, holding Iowa to 30 yards rushing or something absolutely ridiculous. And that's all Iowa does is run the ball.
Yeah.
They beat Michigan at Michigan the following week, causing five Michigan turnovers, two fumble recoveries, three interceptions. They win that game, and then they go up, and they were handling Minnesota. Minnesota made some wild late comeback that it was, I think it was 30-6 or 7 at one point.
Yeah, they were doing a pretty good job.
It was 30-27 was the final there, but they're back healthy. L.J. Scott had a big game. We've seen enough of him over the last few years. Hoosier fans know he's a good tailback. The quarterback can run a little bit. He can throw a little bit. It's another challenge, Dave, and it's life in the Big Ten East. Every time you look up, boom, 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 boom. Why the schedule maker sorts it out that we play the four best teams in the league to open our season, I can't explain that to you. I don't know why that is, but it's never easy on the road in the Big Ten, and it's never easy with the Michigan program.
No, and if you were ever thinking Michigan State was ever going to be an easy game just because of a 3-9 record once, that's really ridiculous. They are a big physical team, and that's the issue you have right now looking at this based on what you saw out of the Hoosiers last week, and that is that Michigan lined up 2-3 tight ends and a fullback, whatever it took, and just got absolutely physical up front. And, it wasn't a big, huge running back that did it. Now, they're going to have a big, huge running back in L.J. Scott to go against this weekend and a pretty big physical quarterback in Brian Lewerke. So what's that rushing attack look like? What does the Hoosier defense look like against it? Because, you know, I mean, in football, it's all copycat type stuff. You see what works. Not everybody's going to suddenly run what Michigan ran all day long, but Michigan State's one of the teams that might because they like that kind of thing anyways, and they don't mind getting you down in the trenches and punching you around.
It's hard to throw an interception when you're running toss sweep left and toss sweep right.
And if they just saw that it worked, and they're feeling pretty good about their running game after going to Minnesota, just like you said, they're feeling pretty good about creating turnovers the last couple weeks also, after they had them created against them, against Notre Dame.
Right.
They've been playing better and better and better as time is going on here, and now they see if an opponent they think they can out-physical. I mean, that's the bottom line when they look at tape right now, is that's what they see and what they think they can do, and they're licking their chops because that's what they do well. So from their standpoint, this is the one team that really is going to say, hey, I like what Michigan did. Let's try a little of that and see how it works.
And similarly to Michigan, Michigan State is usually built on the back of defense. It is not a high-octane scoring attack. It is a ball control offense. They don't mind letting their defense – they don't mind shifting field position just to let their defense go out there and do what they need to do so they can get the ball back in good positions. Michigan State, though, has been a little loosey-goosey with the ball the last 3 weeks. I think they've fumbled 7 times. Now, they've only lost 2, but that tells me that's something Indiana needs. We talked about that before the Michigan game, and you haven't gotten those plays yet. And when we talked to Rashard Fant on Tuesday, he said, hey, has that been an area of focus in practice? Are you guys trying to – what's the solution to that? And I thought his words were interesting. We practice it every day.
Yeah.
This isn't new, but we can't sit and dwell on it because if we worry about that, then we're going to forget our assignments, we're going to forget what we need to do.
Right.
You just have to go out and play ball and make plays. And I like that because it's not hyper minutia focused pin, what do you call that when you look at this and you forget to see all the rest of the stuff. That's good. That's a good theory to have, a good feeling to
have. It's more important that you be in the right position.
Yeah, because you're going to make a play in the right position. Yeah. You can't make it in the wrong position.
Yeah, Tom Allen has always spoken about takeaways, and last year's team was big on takeaways, and that's great. I mean, it's something you can practice. It's something you can focus on, but you first have to be in position. That's incredibly important.
And the good thing.
Too often you see a guy 30 yards downfield who gets ridden for another 20 yards because he's trying to rip the ball out.
Yes.
You got to be in the right spot. You got to make the right play. What helped Indiana against the Michigan defense, especially in the second half, was getting negative plays early and downs. You do that early and downs.
Get them off cycle.
You put them off cycle. You put them in a second and long, that kind of situation. Make it a third and long. Now all of a sudden you're back in your favor. And then you start to talk about can we get the takeaways and that sort of thing. But first you got to get them negative.
And the good news about the takeaways is it's not a brand new concept they have started to try and implement in the last 2 weeks. This has been since Tom Allen walked in the doors as defensive coordinator from South Florida. So they're not teaching anybody new. They're not stopping and saying, hey, we're going to use a new technique this week. This has been going on. So that's that. That's part of it. But that would help, obviously. And then Peyton Ramsey told us early in the week as well, Indiana can't get in third and 11 and third and 12. That limits what they're trying to do because it's the same thing. It gives the defense the freedom. They take a deep breath. They know you have to make essentially a pretty good or a perfect play on top of it. And if the Hoosiers dig themselves into holes, Dave, well, then Hayden Whitehead's leg better be geared up and ready to go.
The Hoosier defense, once again, we say they got out physicaled, but it is not as though Michigan walked through them. Okay, what they got is beaten at the point of attack. They've managed to get off the field several times.
8 3 and outs.
Yeah, I mean, and part of that was, let's be fair, I mean, part of that was John O'Korn is made some
good
decisions and throws, and that's great. Brian Lewerke has done that for Michigan State also, so it's not as though that part can't happen. It's not as though the Indiana offense or defense can't keep you sticking around in the game. A lot of it is still going to come down to, once again, what can Peyton Ramsey get done against a big physical defense? I still don't love the fact that we need to have this guy running around to give us some kind of offense because we can't do something else. I still think we lose a lot without Richard Lego. Now, you gain other things, but do you gain enough of it at the end of the day? We struggled for a long time in that Michigan game to get much going. What's going to happen in this city, this situation, in this environment? This is the first start for Peyton Ramsey on the road. He's been able to come in off the bench in Virginia and did great. He came in at Penn State and got his butt kicked all day long. So, I mean, there's different versions of that same thing. I'm not sure Michigan State's defense is quite as good as Penn State's. Probably maybe a little bit better than Virginia, somewhere in that neighborhood. But it's another big test for Peyton Ramsey.
But the good news, as he mentioned, is that's the fastest he's seen, and that's probably.
He's seen Michigan. He's seen Penn State.
He's seen Ohio State.
He was briefly. But, yeah, he got an extended period of time against Penn State and Michigan.
Exactly. So he has points of reference now. And the key for Indiana is going to be they have to find a way, and it's a broken record, they have to find a way to get the ball in the end zone. And again, that was not the main frame last week. Yeah. That was a struggle. And when you can score and let your defense have some breathing space. We talked about that on Monday, and I think the more I thought about it, I'm not going anywhere with that. Michigan never trailed. Michigan never had to get uncomfortable. Michigan could do anything they wanted all game long on their terms, minus the third and longs. So that's part of it. Keep that going. But at some point, if the defense looks up at the scoreboard and, you know, ask your dad this for me, and just sees that they're trailing, the morale, you can try to hype morale all you want. You keep looking up, and the pressure's on you to get them off the field and you to get them off the field. And they'll tell you that's their job. And they'll tell you that's what they're there for to do.
Right.
But after quarters of it where you just keep looking up, it's 28-0 at Penn State. It's the whole game. Georgia Southern game or Charleston Southern game is another thing. The Michigan game, you trail every minute till zero on the clock.
Yeah, what gets worse is when that deficit doesn't come down at all.
And you're doing your job.
Yeah.
That's the tough part.
Yeah.
So you have to have that balance to help it all work out.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, I really thought the game was over last week when that big long touchdown happened.
The air went out of the sideline.
The defense had been holding on and getting off the field as best it could. The offense hadn't done a thing. Again, they had 5-3 and outs in a row at one point there.
But so did Michigan.
And we're not doing anything. But yeah, but the IU defense was doing their job,
too. That was
the
good news, but it
can't last
forever.
And then when that happened, you know, can you keep that up forever? Look, at the end of the day, Peyton Ramsey can't be turning the ball over a whole heck of a lot in this game. And again, it's on the road. It's a big crowd. You're the game plan this time around. Richard Leggo was the game plan against all the other better defenses other than Michigan. So this one's interesting for the Hoosiers, no question. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Programming notes again for you. Tomorrow night we pick the NFL back up. Thursday night football, 8 p.m. is pregame for Kansas City at Oakland. Friday night is the beginning of the postseason for high school football, and we will have Whiteland coming to town to face Bloomington South. 6:30 is Chalk Talk, and kickoff is 7 o'clock for that. The winner of that game will go on to host Bloomington North next weekend. So we will have both of those two games. One way or another. Saturday, we have college football. College football, 7 o'clock pregame for Michigan at Penn State. Kickoff is 7:30. And Sunday, Jacksonville comes to town to face the Colts. Noon is pregame on the Colts Radio Network. We'll be back with you, of course, Monday night. Take you to 7:45 in the pregame for Monday Night Football. Washington at Philly. This Saturday, however, Indiana basketball gets underway. They've been practicing over at Cook Hall and Assembly Hall and all those halls, and have Hoosier Hysteria this coming Saturday. 5:30 are the doors for Hoosier Hysteria. Dunk contests and three-point contests, whatever else they're going to do.
Competition. Yeah. But in their
big introductions, I'm sure somebody will sing at some point in time. So.
I wonder about that because their big media release today said the focus of this event is the scrimmage. And that, to all me, right. Well, you know
that's
what that
much
is?
Better.
Basketball.
Yeah.
You know what I like? Basketball.
Yeah.
Dunk contests are great. You're not going to get wowed. You're not going to do any. It's fine. It's for the fans. They like that stuff because there's a lot of fans that go to games and just want to see the exciting plays. I got it. That's cool. Do a little balance. Have that. But the focus will be on the scrimmage, and I like to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather watch.
Part
of the reason I don't go to this thing is because it's all show.
Right.
And that's fine. I mean,
for the kids, for your fans.
I'm not going to get on them about having a show. Nope. I mean, have the show. Fans can come out, have fun. Great. That's cool. I just don't really want to watch it. If I'm going to brave a crowd, I want to go see them play.
Exactly.
We'll see what they can do on the basketball court, not just dunk it or three-point shoot.
Exactly. So that's exciting to hear that the focus is going to be the scrimmage. And that's just fine with me. If you'd like to watch it, you're going to have to pay. It's on BTN to go. Subscribership rates are at iuhoosiers.com. This is nothing new. It's been on the BTN to go for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
If you get a subscription to that, it will show you what exhibition games you will get because those are the games also, mm-hmm. the exhibition games are also on that. So you're just not buying one event. But yes, you do have to pay for it if you are not going. Bring canned goods. Please help those who are less fortunate. You get to get free basketball. Bring some cans and help out.
7 o'clock is when the event starts. And just to read the final here, details of the dunk contest and skills contest, which will include the women, have yet to be determined. Main focus is full cream and crimson scrimmage, which will conclude the evening's activities.
Boom.
So there you go. And as you mentioned, the exhibition game is only a little over a week away. October 28th at home, 8 o'clock. That's a Saturday night. Also, Marion University comes to town. And then November 5th, I believe, is that another Saturday or is that a Sunday? I think that's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday. My calendar right in front of me tells me that.
University of Indianapolis. That is a 2 o'clock Sunday
and
scrimmage.
Those are BTN to go games.
Yeah, it's already the 10th of November is the first game of the year with Indiana State coming to town.
Let's do a little math as well. For years, they've done the Haunted Hall of Hoops. That was a Tom Crean production. He created that with an exhibition game on Saturday the 28th. I would not think they would add another event to that.
I wouldn't think so. No.
I would not think so. Do not quote me on that. I'm just thinking out loud. It doesn't make sense to do it because they have to have mandatory days off. They have to do this, and they have another game coming up. So we'll see on that. But what we're excited about is basketball. Let's talk about basketball. Let's quit talking about rankings. Let's quit talking about projections. Let's quit talking about stuff that nobody knows. Let's get the ball in the hoop. Let's get the ball on the floor. Let's see a little sweat. Let's see a little tenacity. Let's get some hoops going.
Not many people think this team is going to finish in the Big Ten top half.
Good. I like that. A lot of seniors make you think otherwise.
I mean, we look at this roster and we say, you know what? They don't have a lot of, you know, players that make you think these are top, you know, 15, 20 players nationally. So, okay. But, you know, are we missing something here? Is this team, do you think this team ends up better than everybody's saying? Does it have a chance to get in the first half and get into the NCAA tournament?
Does Archie Miller turn it around immediately, or does Archie
into an
Miller
NCAA tournament team?
Turn
We're not talking about winning the Big Ten
as the season progresses. If they've if they commit to not turning the basketball over and guarding somebody, I don't think that top half is anywhere near out of the question. You've got to find somebody that can knock down some jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to find somebody if Deron Davis gets in foul trouble.
Yep.
To score the basketball,
yep.
post presence. Yeah, they're questions, but a lot of seniors, a lot of experience tends to be some answers as well.
Might have to find some shooters. I mean, let's be fair about that, too. You got a couple kids. A lot of questions, yeah, but a lot of fun now. We're back to basketball season just around the corner in addition to all this football season. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday. Remember, lots of football over the weekend, and we will join you Monday. You've been in the zone.